Nutritionists tell us you are what you eat. So if that is true, growing up as a small boy and as a young man, I was a walking meatball. I was a walking meatball, courtesy of my grandmother. Seriously, though, the food that we eat does affect our health, our energy levels, our moods, even our behavior. So if I choose to live off Twinkies and Big Macs, I'm going to live a different kind of life than someone who limits their sugar intake and is careful about getting proper nutrition. You are what you eat applies in the spiritual realm as well. It applies to our spiritual life. Jesus Christ challenges us to look at our spiritual appetite with the penetrating words of Matthew chapter 5. So if you have your Bibles and you want to turn there right now, it's Matthew chapter 5, verse 6. A very powerful scripture passage right here. Matthew 5, 6 says, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied." So in this simple sentence, Jesus tells us that our spiritual hunger is going to determine our spiritual health. Blessed are those who have tasted and seen that the Lord is good, and they want more of it. And we need to be hungering for more of God. Because God is constantly transforming us. He wants to take us deeper and deeper into a personal relationship with Him. It's not just about salvation. It's about a daily walk with Him. And there's always more of His love, His grace, and His Holy Spirit power to be had. We should always want Him more. So if we want to understand Matthew 5, 6, we need to key in on this term of righteousness. Righteousness. What does righteousness really mean? We know it's something that has to do with being right or doing right. But a lot of times that's about it. It's a confusing word to nail down. So what I want to do this morning is look at three other passages in Scripture that may shed some light on this word righteousness. So the first one comes from Matthew chapter 5 again. It's Matthew 5, verse 20. Matthew 5, 20. Jesus says, "For I tell you, unless your righteousness surpasses that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will never enter into the kingdom of heaven." That's strong. The Pharisees concocted a religious system that at its core was all about intricate rules and regulations, and it had its foundation in the traditions of people. It was very professional. It was very routine. And I think in the beginning, they may have meant well. They wanted things to be holy to God, but obviously they got caught up in themselves and the flesh completely took over. It became more about rules rather than their heart. It was more about information rather than transformation. So the point here is that righteousness starts in the heart and it changes a person from the inside out. That's righteousness. Let's look at another scripture passage. Let's go to Matthew 6:1. Let's see what Matthew 6:1 has to say about righteousness. It says, "Beware of practicing your righteousness before men to be noticed by them. Otherwise, you have no reward with your Father who is in heaven." Again, the Pharisees loved to put on a big show in front of people. They would pray loudly on purpose in front of people to appear very religious, very pious. They would make a big show about giving money. They made sure others always saw them giving money. They wanted that cha-ching into that container when they put their coins in there. And they wanted everyone else to notice that. And they would do anything to get the praise of their colleagues. In fact, their whole system was built on praise and admiration of others. The whole system. The Pharisees thought that God would still reward them for their actions. No way. That wasn't going to happen. It was a cotton candy religion. It looked good at first glance, but there was no substance there. It was whitewash tombs. So the point here regarding righteousness is that it does not need to be seen by others. Only by God. Only by God. And finally, let's look at this word righteousness by looking at Matthew 6, verse 33. Matthew 6, 33 says this. Some of you might know this verse by heart. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So this touches on priorities in life. So let me ask all of us some things right now. What is it that we are seeking in this life? What really is it? Is it fame? Is it fortune? Career advancement? Is it a secure future? Or a happy retirement? Are you seeking a marriage partner right now? Maybe the fulfillment of your own dreams. Now, as good as those things may be in their proper place at the proper time, they are not the most important thing in life. We must put God first in absolutely everything. And then things fall into place. The main point here is that righteousness causes us to see God's approval above anything and everything else. Seeking his righteousness means letting his word, set the standard for your life. So if we put these three passages together that we just looked at, Matthew 5:20, Matthew 6:1, Matthew 6:33, here's what we get. If we smash all of them together, true righteousness that changes us from the inside out so that we no longer seek the praise of people but cause us to seek God's approval above everything else. That is righteousness. Right there. And that's from God's word. So, back to Matthew 5:6, our main verse this morning. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. We are to hunger after the true righteousness of Christ. The people that Jesus was talking to here on the side of this mountain, on the side of this hill, they completely understood what it meant to be hungry and thirsty. In this region, few people were prosperous. They were living meal to meal, if they could even find a meal at all. As the people listened to Jesus that day, they knew, they felt what it was like to have deep physical hunger and deep gut-wrenching thirst. They lived in poverty. And as we know, there was no grocery stores, no refrigerators, no pantries stocked full, no running water. They would go days without food. So they are well acquainted with hunger. Most of us have never known true hunger like these people. To us, hunger means waiting an extra 5 or 10 minutes for the cinnamon rolls to come out of the oven. We're upset. We feel like we're not going to make it and survive when we have to wait a little extra time at the Culver's drive-thru. And we feel like we're just going to wither away when the pizza delivery car carrying our pizza is 15 minutes late. We are the best fed people on earth. So Jesus here uses this concept of eating and drinking as the motivating power to live a righteous life through him. The people got this example. You know, for us, no one can really force us to eat. Granted, for most of us, it does not take much forcing to eat. However, much like the physical act of eating food, we have to spiritually want to live a spiritual, righteous life. We have to have an intense desire, an overwhelming craving, and an all-consuming pursuit of Jesus Christ. That's what it takes. So I'm talking about that desire we have when we're so physically thirsty, nothing stops us from guzzling that huge bottle of water in one sitting in 30 seconds. We've all been there. Or that type of physical hunger where you pursue food at all costs. It's the only thing on your mind. Jesus is talking about that type of thirst and that type of hunger here, spiritually. Listen to David in Psalm 42. We can actually hear the longing, the drive, the pursuit of this righteousness to God by David. Psalm 42 says, "As the deer pants for the water brooks, so my soul pants for you. O God, my soul thirsts for you, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my food day and night." Hunger and thirst are intense desires. And it is that same intensity we need in seeking righteousness. So do we have that kind of desperation for Christ to live a Christian lifestyle? Can we say to Jesus, "I not only want you, but I need you. And I not only need you, I must have you." Appetites aren't filled until we do something about it. So it's one thing to mentally say, "I'm hungry, I desire food." It's quite another thing to take steps to satisfy our hunger and to quench our thirst. Because at some point, we all have to eat and drink. If you're hungry, if you're thirsty, we can eat, we can drink. So just the other day in the morning, as I do most mornings, I get up really early. I'm a morning guy. I'm up at 4:30, 4:45 a.m. I try to pray, I read scripture, I try to suit up every single day in God's spiritual armor to be covered from head to toe for that day. And then I try to do some type of physical workout. I do some weights, I bike ride, I walk. After that, I get my kids out of bed, we do breakfast, we try to do some devotions, some prayers before they're off. And then I start my work day. So that brings me here to the office, at church, or sometimes I'm out and about talking with people, praying with people, at their house, at the hospital. So each day, there are always dozens of people I connect with as we walk through our faith journey together. And the responsibilities of that, as we all know, they're never ending. And that's good. That's just the way I like it. But there are times that I forget to sit down and have a meal at lunch. And then my stomach starts to growl. So when I get in my car and I drive to go grab something to eat, I don't think, okay, I'm in my car now. This hunger is just going to automatically work itself out and be satisfied. I don't think, you know what? I'm not going to eat anything. I'm just going to keep going and moving, and eventually food's just going to appear out of thin air and come into my mouth, and water's just going to go down my throat. No, I stopped to get something to eat and drink. Now, on this particular day, I just happened to be in the DeKalb Sycamore area. So for me, that means I go to Portillo's to eat a small side salad. That's not true. It's usually a beef sandwich or some hot dogs with everything on it, and it was delicious. In the same way, let's consider. If you're hungry, if you thirst for righteousness, then eat. Open up God's book. Get into God's word. It's been given to you. The presence of God, the Holy Spirit, has been given to you. Stop and eat. Well, I don't know really what to read, and that's okay. Let's start out in the Gospel of John. Well, that confuses me, and all right, pick a psalm. So applicable. Let's go to the Psalms. Well, I don't understand the Psalms, and okay, get a Message Bible or read some type of commentary on that passage that you're struggling to understand. Get in the book. God has given it to each one of us. Because there are whole countries around the world where his book is illegal. And the Christians there literally risk their lives to get a copy of the Bible so that they can read it and they can share it with everyone else in the village. So I don't want to hear from me or anyone else, well, I don't like versions of the Bible that are paraphrases. I only like the original Greek. Now, I don't really know how to read Greek, but brother, sister, you may not be eating anything, so it's time to eat. Some of us are not even cracking the Bible open at all on our own. Are we hungry and are we thirsty to walk in God's ways? If we are, then we must get in his presence and eat. It's available to us. It's right here. Christ's life, Christ's death, Christ's resurrection has been offered to us. So come to the table and eat daily. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. So the action we need to take is to go to the source. The source. The source is the bread of life. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will not hunger, and he who believes in me will never thirst. He goes on to say, I am the living bread that came out of heaven. If anyone eats this bread, he'll live forever. And the bread also which I will give for the for this life of the world is my flesh. So Jesus Christ is the source, the core of life for every single believer. But here's one of the fundamental problems we face sometimes on this. To fill this spiritual hunger and thirst, many people are going to the wrong places. A lot of times we go looking in the wrong spot. I call it the three P's: pleasure, performance, and possessions. Pleasure. It's all about what makes us happy and what we determine is okay and good. Some people even interpret Scripture to fit their rebellion, to fit their sin. Then we have performance. That's where our self-worth, our self-identity may come from other things. Maybe what kind of grades we get. Maybe what kind of evaluations we get at work. How many hours we work. How valuable we think we are. What kind of money we make. And then we have possessions. Many people want the house, the toys, the vacations of their dreams, and that's what motivates 99% of the time. I think a lot of Christians think, all I have to do is go to church occasionally, read the Bible every now and then, serve a little bit when I feel like it. Many Christians just want enough of God to appease Him, but not really to change us. We want enough of God to get us into right standing with Him and to avoid the fires of hell, but not enough to bring us true transforming righteousness. Here's what God says on this. Isaiah 55:2. Why do you spend money on what's not bread, and your wages for what does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me, and eat what is good, and delight yourself in abundance. You see, many people today are looking for satisfaction in all the wrong places, trying to find righteousness to satisfy cravings of their flesh on junk of this world. And the result is, a lot of us are spiritually malnourished. We need to come to Christ, who is the source of life. We need to feed upon Him with a balanced daily diet of prayer and study of God's Word. We need to eat and drink of His love, His grace, His peace, His forgiveness, and His power. And I want to point something out to all of us. In this fourth beatitude here, Matthew chapter 5, it says that those who are filled are not those who have their hunger and thirst met. But instead, it says the satisfaction is for those who are continually hungering and thirsting. It's a continue hungering and thirsting for God. We don't stop hungering. We should not stop thirsting for righteousness once we accept Christ as our personal Savior. We don't stop striving and going forward once we take a step across that faith line. Instead, it needs to be a constant pursuit to live a life of righteousness, to yearn to be more and more like Christ. And we can't do that on our own. No way. No way. That's Christ flowing through you. So, New Hope Fellowship, are we hungering for more righteousness? Are we thirsting for more righteousness? Because it needs to be our continual motivation, our continual goal. And are we coming back for more and more each and every day? Each day this needs to be on our mind, our heart, and our soul. We should need more and more, and we should never stop coming back for more. Because I'm convinced that once we have encountered Christ, nothing else will satisfy. And a lot of us feel that longing, that something's missing. Nothing will satisfy like Christ. Nothing. So, what will we be satisfied with? What are we going to be filled with? Is it going to be food? No. Money? Not lasting, no. Long life? No. We're just a little vapor compared to eternity. Is it going to be a promotion at work? No. Happiness? No. A perfect family? No. A trouble-free life? No. What then? What do we get? The answer is we get Christ's continual growing, sharpening, and abiding righteousness. And we long for that every single day of our lives. So this is a righteousness. This is a righteousness that changes us from the inside out. It's a righteousness that no longer seeks the praise of men or women. And it's a righteousness that causes us to seek God's approval above everything else. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word. Lord, thank you for your Holy Spirit that lives inside of us. Lord, we are the temple now. And Lord, what you speak of and what this message is about is not about the physical. It's about the spiritual hunger and the spiritual thirst. How much more do we need to be seeking after that than just a physical eating time or drinking time? Lord, let us strive for that. Let us long for that. Let us be thinking about that, Lord. That's where we should be putting our time. Let us get more of you to serve you better, to be changed by you. Lord, so you can clean us. Lord, we want that more. Lord, give us the strength to go after that. Lord, you said it's hard work. But Lord, it's you doing the work. We have to be willing. So let us have that singular pursuit of just your holy righteousness. And again, may it be for your glory only. May we never try to seek approval just from people and just for our standing and for our pride. Lord, put that down on us. Let us rebuke that. I pray for humility in every single one of us, that we strive after you, Lord, so you get the glory. Lord, we thank you. Put that burning into our hearts as we leave this building today. May it stay with us. And I just pray all these things in your holy name. Amen.